I am going to tell you, we are blessed as a church to have the music we have. Don't take it for granted. Connie Sue and I attended a much larger church in town a few years, and there were several times we didn't have a piano in a much larger church. We probably had twice, maybe even more than twice as many folks as we have here. And we had one or two that could, but they just wouldn't. They had that talent, and they wouldn't use it. And I appreciate our folks, their willingness. And I'm looking forward to next week as well. I think it's going to be good. Well, what did you think of the inauguration? Well, I'm going to tell you what impressed me, and then I'm going to move on. In the meantime, take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah, if you will. Isaiah chapter 5 in the Old Testament. Use your table of contents if you need to. We don't visit here too often, probably not often enough. Isaiah is a rich, rich book. It's often been called the Gospel of the Old Testament. It says more about the coming Christ at that time than any other writer, and speaks volumes of truth, but being a prophecy, it also spoke about times later within when Jesus came, and we are living in the days of these prophets, and it's important that you and I understand what we're seeing going on around us and in our lives and in the people we know. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, excuse me, Isaiah 5 and verse 18. It's not the fall, but I love to hear the rustle of those leaves. Woe unto them that draw iniquity or sin with cords of vanity, and sin as if it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed, speaking of God. In other words, God, why don't you hurry up and come judge us? And hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Understand, this was a group of Jews that did not see the miracles of the Old Testament. And who have been taught it all their lives. And they're basically making fun of God and saying, okay, God, if you're real, come show us something. By the way, we're living in those days right now. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. I want you to focus especially on verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. With its roots in the counterculture of the 60s, old-fashioned ideas like integrity, commitment, and purity, what many call the old morality, have been replaced with what many humanistic college professors would now call the new morality. By the way, the new morality means no morality. We wondered, and I wondered personally, how in the world in 50 years did our country get so far down the toilet that we're about in the septic tank spiritually in this country? Did you ever think there would be an age where the President of the United States wrote a letter to every superintendent of every school district in the country and demanded that them let transgender kids use whatever bathroom or locker facility they wanted? That I am supposed to partake in their perversion and their wickedness by order of law? Do you think we'd ever be there? We're there now. We're there right now. Did you ever think that we live in a day, in a time, where homosexuality was promoted to the point that it was equal with race relations? And by the way, a lot of folks of color don't like that, because it is totally different. Homosexuality, somebody says, well, they're born that way. Well, I could agree with that in the fact the Bible says we're all born into sin. But I'm telling you, those are choices that are made. But yet we've got law to protect perversion in this country right now. What happened? You see, in essence, the new morality throws off the old objective moral restraints, like this thing called the Bible, where God sets forth his commands, standards, rules, and guidelines. And in its place, we've sat situational ethics, where everyone gets to decide what's right and wrong for them. And there is no standard of right and wrong as a people. Now, that's what people say. But that's not what God says. God still blesses those people that make him Lord. And you know what? This new morality, so to speak, has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of victims. Souls that have fallen off into hell because of the so-called new morality. But not only that, the innocent who have suffered because of the new morality. In 1973, Judge Blackmun ruled that the unborn child was not considered a person. The last time the Supreme Court did that was in the 1800s, when the Supreme Court of the United States declared that a black man was not a full person. As wrong as it was in the 1800s, it was that wrong in 1973... when they said that it was okay and a woman's right to terminate the life of a child. Now, let me say this up front. If you have been through an abortion, or you know someone who has, God have mercy, and he does, on those that have been through it. God does not hate you. God does not hate you, but you need to know the truth. Since 1973, 58 million babies have been slaughtered in abortion mills. Let it sink in. 58 million. My friend, that is literally over 100,000 767 jetliners packed full of 375 passengers dying in a crash. Would that make headlines? Oh, absolutely. They ground the plane after the third one. No less 100,000 of them crashing. But in our society, we are told several lies about abortion. And they are absolutely lies. Remember, the Bible teaches us that Satan is a liar and the father of it. And I am here to tell you that nationally legalized abortion is only legalized out of the pit of hell and never came from heaven. You see, in place of God deciding what's right and wrong, under the new morality, each individual person decides and becomes their own God, their own Lord, and their own master, and their own Savior. And they could technically write their own Bible. Or they could do like the king did, the wicked king, in the Old Testament, whom it shows us. He's sitting by the fire, and as he's reading the scroll of the Word of God of the prophets, he's taking his penknife, and he's cutting out what he doesn't like and throwing it in the fire. I want you to listen to me. The church of today has been doing the same thing for the last 50 years, where in pulpits across this land, men are afraid to stand and preach the truth because they're afraid of the IRS or they're afraid of something else happening. And I'm kind of like the old lady that had a 357 Magnum, an AK-47, and a bazooka. And a cop came up to her and said, "What are you afraid of?" And she said, "Nothing. I'm not afraid of what man can do anymore, because I'm going to stand before God and give an account." So I want you to hang with me over the next few sermons. We'll skip next week and then pick back up talking about the victims of this new morality. The idea is their idea is better. The truth of the matter is, so much of what liberals think they know just ain't so. It's not true. There is an absolute truth. one truth that God has set forth. It's not a Baptist truth, a community church truth, a Pentecostal truth. It's God's truth. And no man, no president can write any executive order or chuck it in the fire and make it go away. God's word is still true. His standard is still high. His standard is still holy. And when this world burns up, God's word is still stand true. Say amen. Amen. So what we're going to look at is this so-called new morality and the victims of this morality. Of course, the first one I would say would be the unborn. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. And I thank you for the privilege of being in your house and among your people, among people that love you and love your word. And I thank you for each one that's here, each home that's represented. I'm asking you, Lord, that I might be anointed from on high. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher, God. I know I say it every Sunday, but God, I mean it every Sunday. I want your blessing on this, that I might be a blessing to these people. Would you help me today as I let down the net, Father, as you steer people into that net for your kingdom's glory, and that, God, you would help us to see a ripe harvest, Father, of souls in the few days, months, and years you've given us, Lord, to reach out. God, we love you and thank you. And again, use this to be a blessing, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. January 22nd rings a bell to me. January 22nd of last year is when that snow and ice storm hit. How many of you remember it? The rest of you were sleeping through it because the power was out? Yeah, it was bad. It's not the worst we'd seen, but it was bad. And I'll tell you how it was bad for me. It was bad for me because I was in charge of our Department of Logistics trying to get critical medicines to people in spite of it. I remember going around back behind our building and seeing Dwight loading up his car, and snow was falling, the ice was down. I mean, it was cold, and he kept chugging. Now, Dwight, I'm going to give you a hand, because, man, you kept going. He got medicines. Listen, he got medicines to hospice patients that were dying and were in incredible pain, and he got medicine to them. Is that a big deal? Yeah. But January 22nd also rings a bad bell in my head, because it was January 22nd, of 1973, when the Supreme Court, having their hearts governed by this new morality, made one of the most destructive rulings in the history of written law. In the landmark decision called Roe versus Wade, our Supreme Court decided that the unborn were not to be given protection under the Constitution of the United States. And God help us, our country has slid so far that there's not even the protection inside the mother's womb anymore by the mother. Bible warns us in the last days, people will be without natural affection. Do you understand what that means? How many of you ladies in here have had a child? Raise your hand. I'm going to ask you, since you've been through it, if you were carrying your child, and I don't care how far along you are, but you knew you were pregnant, and you tripped on this stage and you start to fall, what would be your number one concern? As a matter of fact, I've seen a pregnant lady fall before, not because I wanted to laugh or anything. I mean, I couldn't do anything about it. And when she fell, the thing I noticed is she grabbed her stomach and rolled to her side. Why did she do that? Because God has given you mothers a natural affection for the unborn. The new morality rips that out and lies and says, that is not a person, that is just tissue. And there's no need for you to protect. As a matter of fact, if you don't want it, just cut it out. People automatically will start screaming rape and incest. That's a lie. That is the lowest reason for pregnancy and abortions and the life of the mother. The lowest percentage of reasons. The number 1% is exactly the same as the young lady who was questioned outside of an abortion clinic as to why she was having her abortion. And here's what she said. I've had a ski trip planned for a long time, and I'm not going to let anything break my fun. That's the attitude of the new morality. It's all about you and your rights. What about the baby's rights? Natural affection. No mother needs a discourse on protecting her child. The only thing could be any different would be if some force were to rip that natural affection out of her to the point where she really doesn't care, and she makes the choice to go have it terminated because it's just a lump of cells. By the way, every one of us in this room at one time were two cells. And you're not here by accident. You're here by divine decree because God has a plan. And I'm telling you, God had a plan for 58 million babies. Do you know that we may have murdered our cure for cancer? Do you understand who we may have already murdered? The answer to so many things was flushed down the toilet or thrown out an abortion mill. I could go on about how horrible it is, but let me assure you, first of all, that that child is a human being, and I believe it occurs from the second of conception. You are as much a human being as this wonderful, special, perfect child sitting up here. Yes, she is a relative. Yeah, I will guarantee you this. There is no doubt in my mind that if anyone in this room, you were holding Mackenzie or Brandy, any of the babies at church, if you were holding that child and somebody tried to hurt that child, how many of you, by saying amen, would try to protect that child? Say amen. 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 It's unnatural to kill the unborn. And again, if you've been through it and you were deluded and you thought it was just a lump of tissue, I assure you such is not the case. I could go on and on, but I'll just stick to the main point here. The fact is that there are victims of the new morality. As a matter of fact, up to this date, there's been 58 million of them. Number one lie concerning the new morality is that abortion does not kill a person. Someone in Planned Parenthood, which is neither planned or parenthood, said it's not a baby. It's simply the production of conception. Scientific evidence contradicts this. Week one, the fertilized egg divides and multiplies into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of very unique cells. Some cells are going to become fingers. Other cells are going to become the brain and the heart and the intestines. And God has it all sorted out. The psalmist said it right when he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And God called prophets from the womb to the tomb. And my friend, listen, there is no telling. There are churches right now hurting for pastors. I wonder how many pastors we've murdered. How many Sunday school teachers we've murdered. How many folks that would have loved and served Jesus have we murdered in our country in the name of freedom of choice? Week two, the embryo is attached to the mother by two arteries and a vein that feed and carry away waste every time the mother's heart beats. 18 days, heartbeats begin in the baby's chest. Before the first month, the baby's heart starts circulating blood. At 20 days, the brain, the spinal cord, nervous system form. 1 month has grown 10,000 times since conception and can fit on a penny, yet has a simple skeleton of mouth and body cavities. Nose, eyes, and ears have started to form. Week five, the baby is recognizably human. Eyes, nostrils, mouth, lips, and tongue are visible. Teeth begin to develop. Internal organs are forming. All major muscle groups are present. Baby may even start to move. Week six, the brain activity can be measured. Week seven, voluntary movement begins. Baby can be seen touching its mouth. Week eight, it will react to touch and begins to swallow. By the way, during an abortion, don't you dare say the baby feels nothing. Third month, 3 inches long, facial features can be clearly seen. If the mouth is touched, the baby reacts with sucking. And fingernails, toenails, and hair forms and skin is very sensitive to touch. At the 6th month, they're about 12 inches tall. If fluid is removed from the mouth and vocal cords, baby has been heard to cry in the womb. May get hiccups from drinking in too much fluid. Reacts to loud noises and changes in light and can survive usually if born at this time. In the 9th month, baby turns and is ready for delivery. Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, yet the abortionist can cut out the baby at any time in this place because the Supreme Court, which is the inferior court next to God, said it's okay. It's not a child. I've got news for you. In the eyes of Jesus, all 58 million of those babies are safe. Say amen. Amen. My friend, listen, we better understand something, that this is absolutely and positively satanic. Do you know that Satan hates innocence? He cannot wait to rob the innocence of our kids. The problem is a lot of church folks are helping. I heard the story of a pastor who was sitting at a table visiting a family, a very renowned family in his church, and the teenage daughter went out and saw her reach in a bowl and grab something and head out the door and said, "I'll see you." Mom said, "All right." Teenage boy came out. He reached in the same bowl, got something, went out. The pastor got up and kind of looking, not trying to be nosy, but looked in the bowl. It was condoms. And the church parent was providing for their children. You might as well just said, "Go ahead." I'm telling you, here's their rationale. Well, they're going to do it anyway, but bless God, they're not going to do it in my bed, and I'm not going to provide the activity and the surroundings and play soft music for them so they do it. But that's where we are today, even in the church. The church has swallowed these lies that it's all right. I'm telling you, regardless of what man says, God says there are some things that are right, and he said to the church, "Hold up my standard high." And we have let God down and wondered why our country's gone to hell like a rock through a spider web. I'll tell you why. Because the church hasn't stood its ground. We've been a bunch of sibling sissies crying and whining about how bad it is, and we've backed into the corner. And I'm telling you, for one, this preacher's done backing into the corner. I'm going to stand my ground till I die. Wrong is wrong and right is right, and you're not going to blow me out of it, because this book says what is right and wrong. Amen. And the Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I don't care if they're tithers. I don't care if they're a backbone of the church. If you're not standing for right, you need to change your stand, because God's not changing his.
Amen.
Not only do we know from medical evidence, just on the fact of there it is, but diagnostic evidence as well. In April of 1965, Life magazine published, 8 years before this ruling, by the way, published photographs of living unborn infants in the womb. Even movies have been made. The unborn babies were seen to yawn and suck their thumbs and move around. By the way, they're cute even then. And it's funny, you see a mama, she'll bring a regular sonogram. It's just a black and white picture. You know what it looks like to me? A negative gone bad. And they'll go, "Look, it's our baby." I'm like, "That's so sweet." Sure. I can't see it. But you know what? Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not true. And what happens is they're so proud. But listen, in today's society, listen, they can go beyond that. Ultrasound sonograms use low-frequency sound waves to make a viewable image of the unborn child. And now there are methods that not only allow them to know the sex, but to see the face of their unborn child. Recently, a blind mother, I believe in Australia, they took a 3D image of her baby's face and put it in a 3D printer and printed a plastic model of her baby's face, which she would never see with her eyes, but they took that plastic model and brought it to her, and she felt that baby's face for the first time, and tears began to run down her face. Because regardless of what the world says, you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And God has a plan for your life. Listen to me, young lady. Listen to me, young man. You are not a piece of trash. You are not an accident. You're here on purpose. God has a plan for you, and you are a somebody to God.
Amen.
Don't let the world sell you a pack of lies. Oh, they'll do it. There's one professor at the University of North Carolina that prides himself on how many students he's turned away from the Christian faith and shattered their belief in the Bible. And it's all based on ignorance on his part, and ignorance on the people that walk in the classroom. And I'm telling you, listen, you better be sure that your faith is solid before you leave home and go to school. Because you better know what you believe and why you believe it, because you're going to have folks out there that are going to challenge it at every corner. Just because you believe it's not good enough, the Bible says that you and I are responsible to be able to give an answer to any man that asks about this hope that's within us. And we have a woefully ignorant group of Christians today scattered across the globe. Oh, they all want to feel good and shout, raise their hand, but they can't name the 12 apostles. They can tell you the NFL teams and who's in the playoffs, and they can tell you key players that they like and their statistics, but they can't even give you one verse of Scripture outside of John 3:16 they know by memory. And we wonder why we're in this mess. I'm here to tell you the diagnostic evidence says that baby's a child. DNA evidence says it's a child. Within the original cells, mom and dad each provide 23 chromosomes. When joined together, they form a complete cell with 46 chromosomes. Birth defects or miscarriage come if this count is off. Within each chromosome is 46 identical DNA molecules. Each cell holds, get this, 2,116 DNA molecules in each cell. Each DNA molecule carries a unique profile of you, a double helix like a twisted ladder. Chromosomes must be magnified to be seen 175,000 times, but 46 are wrapped on each of those ladders. Chemical info available in the DNA of one cell, it would write books. It'd have to, with 500 words per book, there would be 600,000 pages of info. A home library of 1,000 volumes would not hold all that your DNA in one cell tells about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And every baby that has been thrown out like trash was fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible said that when Cain killed his brother, that the blood of his brother cried to God from the ground. Oh, the moan and wail that must be crying from the ground of the United States of America. 58 million babies. We take the most helpless. I will tell you again, the master of this is Satan. Kids, listen to me. Satan wants your innocence. He wants your innocence. Some of these kids are so funny, so cute in their innocence. I told you before, a baby, especially a toddler, they don't even think about it. You can have a house full of company. They'll come walking in naked as a jaybird holding their diaper. They don't mean nothing by it. They're not trying to moon you. They just don't know. Satan hates that innocence. Do you know that school systems in California are teaching sex education to 4- and 5-year-olds in detail? Why? Why? I heard a parent say they just don't want their child ignorant. Well, let me tell you what it's done. The birth rate hadn't dropped. The sexually transmitted diseases haven't dropped. They've risen. The actions of perverts and pedophiles has not gotten lower. It's gotten higher. We've created nations of pedophiles because some parents dress their kids up like Hollywood. How do I say this? It'd be kind of trollops. And then wonder why they get pregnant when they're 13. We've done it to ourselves. And we want to blame everybody else. It's about time the church decided to line themselves up with Jesus Christ and Him crucified and let God's rule stand no matter what man says. And God says it's a child, a uniquely created child. Even if by rape or by accident, that child could not draw a breath unless God said yes. There are examples of people who are the product of rape, who grew up to be great and productive citizens. And not only that, had families of their own that were functional and good families. That if you followed this mentality of the new mentality and morality, that child should have been put to death. It's funny that, interesting, that Hitler killed 13 million, we call him an animal. Stalin killed 20 million and we say he was insane. Mao Zedong of China killed 30 million of his own people and we say he's a monster. But the U.S. has aborted 58 million since 1973 and we call it a woman's right. What a lie. Satan wants to snatch the innocence of our children. Why? That's what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. When he came to Adam and Eve, he says to Eve, basically, oh, listen. God told you not to touch that because if you did, you'd learn good and evil. They already had good. What was the only thing missing? The evil. And all he had to offer was evil. Remember this, all the devil's apples have worms in them. And so what happened is people are still chasing the devil's apples. Does it feel good? Yeah, yeah, buddy. It feels good. You start running that home pregnancy test and you find out ruh-roh. People are sowing wild oats and praying for crop failures. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to come home to roost. Either in sexually transmitted disease or an unwanted pregnancy. But I'm here to tell you, if that baby comes in, it's not that baby's fault. Amen. So do we hate the child? No. Do we even hate the mother? No. But my goodness, you're not going to solve the problem by killing the baby. There's scriptural evidence that contradicts the lie that we're not person until born. By the way, Hillary Clinton, had she had her way, would have allowed abortion far beyond the current rules. There was a move afoot by some that advised her to not declare a person a human until 72 hours after they were born, so they could be killed 3 days after they were born. A nurse who worked in an abortion clinic walked into a closet and found a baby laying there naked, crying in a cold, air-conditioned closet. What had happened is that child had been born alive. And to get it out of the way, they took it and put it in a closet to die and covered it with towels. And she walked in there and saw the pile of towels moving and pulled it back and saw there was a baby in there. You know what she did? She put the towels back and walked out the door. She continued to work at the abortion clinic until the dreams at night kept her awake and she couldn't do it anymore. Because it was good money. Good money in it. And I'm telling you, that's driving the train today. If you think these abortion mills care about the woman, you are crazy. If you think Planned Parenthood cares about the woman, you are crazy. And God help them, you know they don't care about the babies. The second lie is those who support abortion are simply concerned with women's rights. Many lies depend on twisting the truth because we're a freedom-loving people. We believe in people having the right to choose and playing word games and taking advantage of our love for freedom. Those who support killing babies in the womb boldly announce that they were not pro-abortion, they were pro-choice. Did you hear me? They say they're not pro-abortion, they're pro-choice. And many are confused by this ideologue double talk. Pro-choice means a person believes that the killing of babies in the womb is okay. Carrying their fraud to a higher level, they say people against abortion are anti-choice. I'm going to announce to the church today, in case there's any doubt, I am anti-choice when it comes to abortion. Amen. If you're going to Dairy Queen, that's your business. When it comes to the womb, I do not believe a woman should have a right to commit murder. And it is murder. Isn't it funny? If the woman wants the baby and somebody shoots and kills her and the baby, they're charged with two homicides. But if she doesn't want the baby, she can go down and dispose of it like a piece of trash and it's her right. What about the baby's rights? Well, that all went down the toilet in 1973 when the Supreme Court said it's not human. It's not a person. You see how crazy it is? And the church is basically, oh, you hear voices raised every once in a while, but the church has sat back and done little actively about it, and we're presented in the media as being crazy. I guarantee you some liberal listening to this would lose their mind listening to this message. I don't care. They're wrong. There are still things that are right and wrong. It's not up to you to decide what's right and wrong. I'm telling you what, in 1976, in an army barracks in Heilbronn, West Germany, I bowed my head and I told God he could decide what was right and wrong in my life. And when you get right with God, you'll do the same thing. You see, money talks. Abortion is a multi-billion dollar business. Abortion clinics have made owners and many physicians very wealthy. The average physician just doing abortions at a few a day can make over $250,000 clear a year or more, depending on where they're practicing. Don't tell me it's about a woman's rights. The company you keep says a lot about you. The psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Radical feminist groups, lesbian rights groups, and other anti-Christian organizations, along with the Chinese Communist government, support abortion on demand. That ought to tell you who they are by who they're running with. Are you listening? Are you listening? Say amen. Let me tell you something. In relations, politics, etc., it does matter who a Christian supports.
Amen.
We proved it in this last election. And we've scared the liberals to death. The thing is not to cower down by them burning cars and wrecking businesses and even their own neighborhoods. The thing to do now is love them, but stand up and stand true. Say amen.
Amen.
You see the lie. The third lie is that abortion is only needed due to rape, incest, and save the mother's life. I've touched on that. I won't say much more. But to say this, it's now gotten where people can do a test and find out if that child... what did they tell you about Mackenzie as far as being healthy? Didn't they say one time there's a good chance that she wouldn't be? You know what the advice the medical community gives at that point? Consider having an abortion. Stephen, my nephew, has spinal bifida. Roy has told the story, and you may not have been here, but he has spinal bifida. When he and Jeannie went to Vanderbilt for their counseling session, they advised them to abort Stephen. And they said, we're going to give you time to think about it. And Roy said, I don't need time to think about it. I am not going to murder my son. Thank God. But I'm telling you, that's the world we're living in. You say, well, we can't change it. Yes, we can. We can make a difference by standing for what's right and determining. Young ladies, if you find yourself in that condition, don't you forget this. And this is not a pass. But if you find yourself pregnant, don't kill the baby. If nothing else, if you can't care for that child, there are loving people that are wanting children that can't have them. Don't kill the baby. Oh my goodness, what did that child do? I like one thought in some places that's mandatory when they go in. They want to make it law in everyone, but it hasn't been so far. Anytime a girl presents herself for an abortion, she has to be shown a sonogram of the baby first. The average woman will get up and walk out and not kill the baby. Because they're told it's a lump of tissue until they see it has a taste. To see it in there sucking their thumb. My friend, listen to me. We are in a world, the most dangerous place to live as an American is in the womb. It ought to be the safest place anywhere on the planet. And the number one lie, I'm just giving you the number fourth lie in this list from 1 to 4, is that abortion is safe. It's not so. 4,000 to 6,000 die every day from abortion. Oh, not the mothers, the babies. They're almost, and I say almost, 100% successful in killing the babies, because there are babies that have lived through the abortion, as I told you, that now live, walk, and breathe, and are. And by the way, they are anti-abortion people now. The ones that have lived through it don't promote it. They don't say it's a woman's right. They say it's against the order and law of God. Psychological and emotional problems affect a large percentage of mothers aborting babies. And this is where the church ought to step forward. Because I'm going to tell you, anytime you get in a group of people, even our size, there's somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that's done it. And I am going to give you the official position from Scripture. I'm going to tell you what God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is only one sin, Jesus said, that will not be forgiven, man, and that's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And aborting a baby is not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you've done it, know somebody who has, let me tell you, my friend. Or if you're having sex outside of marriage, I don't care what you call it, what you think about it, sex outside of marriage is sinful. It's wrong. It's a sin. Society says it's not. Just live together and try to decide, you know, whether it's going to work or not. God says, don't do that. And if you have, the thing to do is tell God, hey, God, I'm sorry. When couples have done that, I cannot tell you the difference. When they've done that and come to me and say they want to get married, the difference in their lives are dramatic. You know why? I don't care what they say, they're not hiding it from God. You can't hide it from God. Some people think you can hide it from your friends, your families, the church, and everybody. Listen to me. Even if you do, you can't hide it from God. You say, Chip, really, come on. You're that old-fashioned. The book is, and I'm going to stand for the book. God calls sexual relations of any kind outside of marriage is fornication. If you're married, it's called adultery. And God says it's wrong. Amen? One man for one woman, not two men and two women. And not three at a time either. I'm not trying to shock you or anything, but this is where we live. Had a young couple in our church. She was a beautiful lady, and her husband, man, handsome, and just they looked like they had it all together. And they had a young boy, gorgeous kid. I mean, just handsome little booger, cute. And then probably about, I guess, maybe 6-8 months later, I heard that they were separating and that he was devastated. So I called him in, I talked to him. He sat down across my desk, and this is what he told me. Me and my wife wanted to put some spice in our relationship, so we brought another woman into the bedroom, and my wife fell in love with her. Perversion is not of God.
Amen.
You don't need spice in your marriage. You got that. You need a Jesus trip to the altar is what you need. Amen. But I'm telling you, our society is eat up with it, because this new morality says, whatever feels good, do it. And God says, not so fast. Not so fast. Because somebody always suffers. As we look at this new morality and the victims of the new morality, I want you to understand the primary one in abortion is the child. Let's determine to make a difference. Let's support those pregnancy centers that are Christian-based. Let's do everything we can to stand against the lie called Planned Parenthood. If, by the way, if you're involved in those support programs like the United Way and that kind of giving, you be very careful what you support, because some of it is sliced off and given to these abortion mills called Planned Parenthood. Be careful what you support. And then I will leave you with this thought. Pray for the women who have been victimized by abortion and the lie of abortion, that Jesus would bring a healing to their hearts. Because there's something you cannot do to a woman, is you cannot take that away from their heart, that they had a child and that child is dead. The average woman that has an abortion will do this the rest of her life. She will look at the calendar and think, they would have been 20 today. They would have been graduating from college today or high school. Or, I wonder where they'd have been working. The rest of their life, there's regret and remorse. But Jesus doesn't want you in that. If you've been sexually active outside of marriage, God doesn't want you wallowing in that guilt. He wants to help you by telling you, you can be forgiven and you can walk the line that He's laid for you. It may mean saying no to things that are pleasurable and that are fun, and that, man, it makes you feel good that somebody cares about you. You do know that the average man, and I'm being as kind as I can, will say anything you want to hear to get to that place. Are you understand what I'm saying? And then they'll leave you. Don't fall for the lie of man or Satan. Stand for what is true. And if you've crossed that line, how about letting God make you a new virgin in Him? And you say, how's that happen? God forgives you just like you never sinned. You say, well, can God do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's more than a new start. It's a new heart. And God wants to do that this morning for anybody in here who either has been through it or knows somebody that's been through it and you want to pray for them, or you've been sexually active outside of marriage and you know it and you have not asked God to forgive you. It's time to do that. Get things right with God. And the only way is by trusting Christ as your personal Savior and asking Him to come in and become the Lord of your life. You were never designed to be the Lord of your own life. We are all designed to follow a heavenly leader, or at least a divine leader, or at least a spiritual leader. And unfortunately, most of the world is not following the right spiritual leader. They're following Satan. Don't be the victim of eternity. Would you stand with me? I'm asking Brian, if you will, to come. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Never believe the lie that there's no victims of the new morality. We will share with you a few of those victims' time, and all will not allow us to share all, but believe me, there's more than just the innocent babies. And Lord willing, we'll look at that in the weeks ahead. During this invitation, I'm going to challenge you to search your heart. And if you're here today and you don't know absolutely 100% sure that you are saved and that Jesus lives in your heart, my friend, I want to invite you to come and kneel, and I will take the Word of God in a few short minutes and a prayer, be able to lead you to Jesus if you want that. It's so simple. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you and your sins and rose from the dead to bring victory to you, and that you believe that He did that for you. And ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and He will do it. And then tell somebody, with your mouth, confess the Lord Jesus. And I believe that you say, well, I've already done that, but have you followed Him in believer's baptism? I believe that a believer who's trusted Christ ought to be obedient to the simplest things, to the most complex, and it starts with obedience as far as baptism goes. Have you ever done that? If not, today's your day to come and say, preacher, I need to get baptized. I've been saved, but I've not been where I ought to be, and I've never obeyed Christ in being baptized. I think you need to do that. But if you're here and the note is hit home in your life, you have, or somebody you know has, had an abortion, God will forgive you. That baby's okay, and the only way you're ever going to see that child again is to make sure you're right with God. And I believe you will see that child. By the way, I don't believe there's a bunch of babies floating in heaven. I believe they become their full, whoever they're supposed to be, selves, and you'll see them and know that that's your child. The Bible says we will be known as we are known. In my first marriage, my wife at the time, she miscarried a baby at Vanderbilt. They could not even recognize to tell us whether it was a boy or a girl. I believe I will meet that child in heaven as sure as I know that I'm going to meet my daughter who is an adult and die. My friend, if you're here and you've been sexually active outside of the marriage relationship and you haven't already done so right where you were standing or previously, I invite you to ask God to forgive you. He will. He said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God does not want to beat you up this morning. He wants to hug you and tell you how much He loves you and how special you really are. Again, you are not a piece of trash. You are marvelously created for His purpose and plan. Father, we bow before You and we pray for these folks that are here today and the homes that are represented, that God, You would move and do a work. I have let down the net for the draught as You've commanded, God, and I'm asking You in the days, months, and years ahead as You allow, God, that You would bring the fish into that. And Father, it's not my job to clean them. It's just my job to let down the net, Father, as You catch them. And Father, I ask You that You would help us as a church to reach out to all, Father, from the uttermost to the guttermost, and reach out to all and make a difference. Oh, God, use us, I pray. And this morning, God, I'm asking You among this crowd that You would bring folks to the altar who are willing to pray for these mothers, Lord, across our own county that have wrestled with this and are wrestling with it now, God, that they will pray for others even if they don't know them, that they would step out and pray. And if they have known and they do know or they're involved, God, that they would pray as well. Before I finish this prayer, if you'd like to come and pray for somebody that's wrestling with this battle of sexual impurity or abortion, not like you're better than anybody, but you want to pray for them that they'll see and understand how much God loves them. If you want to pray for someone you know, why don't you come? Come right now. Come on. Show that heart of compassion and come pray for somebody that needs it. Even if you don't know their name, just say, oh God, I want to come this morning and represent that one that's hurting, and I want to pray for them, God, that they would come to know You for that pregnant girl that's scared to death, who yesterday found out she's expecting a child and she's thinking about abortion, your prayer may tilt the scale. Would you come right now and pray for that one? Even if you don't know who she is, God does. And would you come right now and pray that God would speak to her? As others come, do you need to come right now? Help. Pray for these. Come on, right now. Come right now. Your prayer may change eternity for another soul, maybe two souls or more. Would you come and pray? As others come, there's time. Would you come and pray? Oh God, we come before you and ask you, Father, that you continue to move in this service this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your truth. And God, you know my heart. I'm mad at the devil, but I'm not mad at anybody. I'm mad at sin, God, and I'm angry at it, Father, what it does to the innocent, Father. I think of even in my own life, Lord, what sin has done in my life, God, in the past. And I'm so grateful that you can put them behind us, Lord, as far as the east is from the west, and you forgive and you cleanse. Thank you, God. Father, we pray for those that are right here in this community, Father, right around us in our own county, Lord, in our own state, that are wrestling with this right now. God, give them the courage to do the right thing. Speak to their heart. Let them know that they are loved by a God who cares about them and their child. And if they're not pregnant yet, God, but they're sexually active, God, that you care about their lives. They are more than just somebody to be used. We pray for kids in our own state that have been caught and have been trafficked in the sex trafficking industry in our own state. Oh, God, give hope to those children whose innocence has been snatched from them. And, oh, God, I'm asking you to expose the perverts behind it, that, God, you would break those chains and that, God, you would help and protect our children, God. Our young people, God, please. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. And we believe you and trust you that this message this morning will make a difference. God, we ask that you do this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, may the Lord bless you and keep you and watch over you. Speak to your hearts. And remember this, if in the days ahead God speaks to you about this message, remember this. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. He is so good. God doesn't want to bring a hammer down on these folks. He wants to bring grace. But if you reject his grace, the hammer's coming. Because hell is real, and so is heaven. But if you reject God, there's no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'll say it again. No one in the sound of my voice here or on the internet, wherever you might be listening, I'm telling you, listen to me. God don't make no junk. You are a child of the King when you accept him as Lord, and you have spiritual royal blood flowing through your veins. Quit living below your privilege. And if you're not a child of the King, he wants you to become one. May the Lord bless you. You're dismissed.